Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
I'm not doing too bad, man. I got a nice little fire. I decided to move out of the driveway, the portable fire, and I got the fire going in the fire pit tonight. So I'm sitting down in the middle of my yard.
All right.
Feeling good, brother. But feeling good. Here's the thing is, I'm feeling good, but here's the crazy part is I was reading some stuff as I'm sitting out here, you know, avoiding my family and children and all kinds of stuff for a couple hours. Did you see the stuff that was just released by Tony Clark, who is the union president or whatever the heck he is for the MLB Players Association?
Okay, well, first of all, I have not. Secondly, I'm afraid that you're going to quote this wrong because last week you got me all in a tizzy that ESPN was linking up with the Chinese Baseball League, and they're not. It's the Korean Baseball League. You were way off on that one last week. So make sure you got the details right before you start getting people into a tizzy this week. What did Tony Clark say?
Well, here's the thing is I didn't know it was that I've been watching the Chinese Baseball League on Twitch, which they're doing. I guess they're doing English language stuff right now. So I apologize for that. But the big thing that he said right now is, he's putting like a fairly big kibosh on the plan out in Arizona, because he said that he is quoted in the Associated Press today as saying that there was an agreement in place that baseball would not be played until there could be fans in the stands and that it would be played in all 30 home ballparks. Now, the commissioner does have power to make that, you know, adjustment, but it still has to be approved by the MLBPA, which is weird that they took this long to come out and speak out against it. I mean, this stuff's been out in the news for a couple weeks now, and now they're going to the Associated Press to talk about it today.
Oh, I love this.
It was just really weird to me.
I'm reading it right now. This is great. Okay, so let me break this down for anybody that hasn't heard this yet, because this is brilliant. This is everything that you wanted and a bag of chips. Because back when this whole thing happened with the shutdown, it was all peace and love and hold hands. I mean, even the Democrats and Republicans, Fox News and CNN, all agreed for like 48 hours. They're like, virus bad, let's all work together. Then everybody started fighting with each other, and it just got worse and worse and worse. All right, so now what we have is Major League Baseball comes up with this thing of, we've reached an agreement, and it's all in place, and we've got everything worked out. The union and the owners have agreed in this thing, and everything's worked out, except they left something open, Craig. They left open what happens if they play in front of empty stands. There was a clause in the contract that said, we'll revisit that if it happens. And now it seems like it's the only way it can happen. And what you have is the players' unions going, nope, we're good with the agreement. You're either playing or you're not playing. And if you're not playing, we at least get some money out of it. And this has been, they've drawn a line in the sand saying, nope, now all the playtime and holding hands and we're all in this together is over. This is about millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And you have players within your ranks that are saying, I don't want to play, so screw it. I'm not going anyway. And Tony Clark is leading into a negotiation with Major League Baseball. And let's think about this. Major League Baseball does not want to have 2 years of work stoppage. So the players' union, now realizing that they have the cards, is going to sit there and say, nope, you're going to pay us. I don't care if there's people in the stands or not, or you're essentially stopping baseball, and good luck stopping it again the next time we negotiate in a year, okay? Never underestimate major organizations, rich people taking advantage of a crisis to make more money. And that's what's going on right now between owners and players, all of which who are rich, and we are just the peons that watch them.
Yeah, the whole thing with me was that, I mean, Rob Manfred is working for his people, which is the owners. And they're saying, if we can get games played and we can get, you know, TV money, that will recuperate at least some of our revenue.
I'm going to tell you something right now. They're not playing baseball this year. They're not playing baseball this year.
And the players are basically saying, oh, wait a second. So you're going to put us in harm's way. You're going to take us away from our families. You're going to do all this kind of stuff. Right. And now you're going to pay us less money. They agreed to get paid. I forget what the amount was.
I'm going to find it for you here real quick.
I think it's 1/162nd of a game. Yeah,
there's a $170 million cash advance on salaries. So they're basically paying guys through May 24th. And then after that, the contracts would be prorated based upon the number of games that would be played. But there was a clause in there that basically said that since 40% of the team's revenue comes from the gate, which includes tickets, concessions, and parking, based on those figures alone, they would have to reduce the salaries more, and that would have to be renegotiated. And Tony Clark sends out a statement. I'm going to read it. I'm going to quote it. Here is what it said. Players recently reached an agreement with Major League Baseball that outlines economic terms for resumption of play, which included significant salary adjustments and a number of other compromises. That negotiation is over. End quote.
Yeah. So he just basically said, pay us. I mean, and here's the thing is, if you're talking about all the stuff that's going on in the world right now with like the whole thing of like hazard pay and all this kind of stuff, like these guys are, I mean, I know they're millionaires and some of them are thousandaires or whatever it is. They're making more money than I probably will ever make in my life.
Right. I never made as much in a year that even the guy who's making the least amount in Major League Baseball is making. So, I mean, it's hard for me to, I never felt bad for them during the strike in 94. I was against them. I was mad at them. I forever will dislike Tom Glavine because he was the face of the players organization. Just as much as I hate like certain owners that were the face of the ownership group. Okay. I never felt sympathy for the players in 94 and I won't feel sympathy for them now. Look, this is a business. These guys are going to war and they're stuck and coronavirus brought about the war that was going to come anyway, that we didn't want to have come. It has brought negotiations early because now everybody is positioning themselves. I mean, like, look, I'm going to give a little insight into myself. I was a radio broadcaster for 10 years. So I come out of college and I would have to negotiate my own contracts. So what had happened would be is that I took my first job out in Wheeling, West Virginia out of college. And I had two other places that were trying to hire me. And I went and I met with all of them. And the one in Wheeling, West Virginia gave me what I wanted. They gave me more freedom with my show. They gave me more money. They gave me a longer term deal. They gave me better assurances. They gave me the ability to spend money on people that were going to come in and help my morning show. And I felt like based upon their position in the market, they gave me a great position to succeed because I was young and I wanted to take a first place ranking in the last town I was in. And I wanted to add another one. So I had this amazing resume as I built my career in radio. And it worked out basically the way that I thought it was going to in that town. The next time that I went to go and negotiate with somebody, they flew me out, they bought me steak dinners, and I laughed at them 3 days into it when they tried to deny everything I asked for in my contract, and I went home. I had a guaranteed contract. When a station went under, the station manager got into so much trouble. Like, he was not going to get fired. He ended up getting fired because he gave me a guaranteed deal because I negotiated like crazy. Later on in life, I joined a 911 dispatch center and become part of a union. And I got elected union president within 3 years, negotiated two contracts with a major municipality. And this is how this works. You use any leverage you can. I have done it in personal negotiations, and I have done it as a negotiator that represents a large group of people. You sometimes go to arbitration. You sometimes laugh at them, even though you're like, well, that's kind of what I want, but I got to get it all. You do everything you can in a negotiation to go after the other guy. It is war. And right now we have an instance where if you weren't sure where your footing was going to be when the next CBA was going to come up, Now you have something else you can hold over these owners. I mean, whenever have the players had something on ownership? Ownership wants to play games. And players are like, you want them so bad, give in on something because you don't give in on a lot. They finally have them on something. This could all be a thing by MLBPA to start to lay the groundwork for the next CBA. Like, okay, if you want this, you got to give up something right now in the next CBA. This is all posturing right now. And if you notice the fact that Vince McMahon and WWE folds XFL, releases a bunch of wrestlers, and is still performing live shows because otherwise he loses a $1 billion television contract with Fox, even though there's COVID-19 within his ranks, don't think that professional baseball players and owners aren't looking at that example on a smaller scale saying, well, we got to get back to work. Well, we're in danger. And that's exactly the conversation that's happening right now. And it's going to be a fascinating thing. But unfortunately, as a baseball fan, Craig, I don't think we're going to see Major League Baseball this year.
No, I don't think. I think this is where it kind of came down is what I was thinking of. And is what you're saying right now is that they're going to try to take this time to, like you said, posture. They're going to take this time to try to get the stuff that they want to get in to get baseball going next year and not have another layoff. And that's actually not a bad thing. I mean, believe me,
it's a bad thing. It's still a bad thing. It's a
bad thing.
The worst thing is if they don't play this year and these idiots all dig in their heels and we don't have baseball in 2021. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing that could happen. The worst thing we could see is multiple work stoppages where they finally go back to work and then strike halfway through next season. But I think that kills baseball. See, I think that you're already maybe the players realize that. Maybe somewhere inside that or somebody who's thinking of this from like an analytical point of view saying, look, numbers are down. Old people like baseball better than young people. Look, we're a rarity, Craig. Okay? We're guys in our 40s that see baseball as being our favorite sport. We're not the majority of sports fans. Baseball's not the number one sport in America right now. It was the number one sport back in 1994, but it isn't now. There were far greater things. There are far greater options right now for sports fans to find if baseball goes away than there were back in 1994. It's a much different landscape. And you might have players saying, if there was ever a time to strike, it's right friggin' now. And that's what's happening.
No, the thing that's killing even baseball right now is that, you know, you've got stuff still going on with the NFL. Like the NFL is still doing trades. The NFL is still, you know, posturing for their draft. The NFL still has that light at the end of the tunnel where they could possibly still play this year. So, the baseball market right now is it's drying up. And we were worried about this before COVID-19. We were worried about this for next year. Well, it's in our faces right now. And that's the scary part for me, right?
Let me tell you something. The NFL and the NHL are best equipped to be able to survive in a world where there isn't a vaccine yet or 100% cure, but they have to protect their players because they can implement equipment changes that have full face shields in front of their players and gloves. And they instruct these players, now you are following the CDC regulations. And the NFL, and I was thinking about this today, at some point somebody's going to make $1 billion off of this. And I don't have the capital to do it, but I'm going to tell you right now what's going to happen. Somebody's going to figure out how to outfit temporarily restaurants and stadiums to be able to bring in at least some crowd. You could sell the skyboxes. You could sell the individualized sections. You could separate people out. You could put up barricades. You can do things to at least pack part of your stadium. And in a I'm going to tell you something right now. This new thing that they got going on that's on ESPN this week, that's all about the Chicago Bulls, right? They're saying this thing is going to end up being one of the highest rated things ever. You want to know why? Because people want sports. They want it badly. So what you're going to have is eventually a product on the field during this in which they're going to go after more revenue with the TV stations. Because the TV stations need to survive. ESPN is dying. All these local sports stations are dying. There's layoffs all across the world of media, and we're only a month into this thing. This is who blinks first. This is what this is. It's the reality of the times. It's who blinks first. And if a smart business owner or a smart organization or a smart league will sit there, like the ones that are in the best positions are the ones that can sit there and now wait 6 months. Wait for those media stations to have to do layoffs. Wait for those media stations to not have anything and then come walking in like the wolves and say, now we want a bigger piece because even though we're not going to be able to fill our stadiums, you need us more than we need you. Or we'll go someplace else. And we're going to have guys in shields and we're going to have half of a stadium full and it doesn't matter. Because they have time to get on the technology behind this and how to make it interactive for fans at home and make their sport move forward. Baseball was caught right before the season started, and it's not natural for them to wear protective equipment on the field. And that's why, and they got a CBA coming up. They are in the worst position of all sports to find their way through this season. I mean, it is really unlikely to me.
Yeah, and the biggest part was is they were talking about like having to change rules, like not being able to, you know, I know that we were talking about like Rob Manfred wanting to implement some of his stuff, you know, his automated strike zone. But then it even takes into consideration, I think like we've talked before about, you know, holding the runners on, like just even being near people without protective stuff. I mean, you're putting everybody at risk. And like you said, it happened right as this was going on. I think that basically Major League Baseball and the NBA are, they're behind the eight ball right now. And Major League Baseball has been, like you said, declining to begin with. I don't know, man. It's a scary situation. And I honestly don't want to see players be put in situations. And I don't want to see anybody be put in situations. And right now I'm thinking, like you said, Major League Baseball this year, I'm sitting out by a fire and I'm realizing this may not happen.
Well, you know, I've been saying this now for the last couple of weeks because I've been saying that a lot of baseball writers, they need to have something that they can talk about, right? So they just keep hammering on this issue, but it doesn't mean that they're really close to putting the issue through. And I see Gary Morgan try to get in. Gary, I'm going to totally let you in. Just give me a minute here because I want to get to this point. All right. And anybody else who wants to jump in, feel free to hit the app button. I will put you on. But let's just think about this, and let's just get away from baseball just slightly, real quick. Just between me and you, Craig, you sat around, you're from the same generation as I, right? We're the generation that watched the Challenger explode as kids in a classroom, lived under the threat as children of the fact there might be nuclear war, saw 9/11 as young adults and wonder what the hell was going on with the world. We have parents that may or may not have been drafted into the Vietnam. Grandparents are around during World War II. We've studied our history. We understand the way that the world works. We grew up in a very interesting time in America. We come from that generation. We're not the greatest generation. We're not the boomers, but we have a very good understanding about history and how the world works, I think. All right? We're not perfect, but we have a good idea of it. Where is the American ingenuity here? Who is going to be the person that steps forward and says, if Major League Baseball can't get off their asses, if I am an owner of a minor league team that's already on the chopping block, and I have three or four other minor league teams nearby me that were also on the chopping block, that I don't declare my independence and start my own baseball league with a TV contract in June. Where is that? Because I feel like it should happen. You know, out of every crisis in the history of the world, especially in the history of this country, weird things have occurred. Sports leagues have been born. New innovations occur. This is very, very new. We're only a month into this. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If the fat cats don't do anything, somebody's going to come along. I have to believe that and find a way to do something. Like, what happens if Major League Baseball doesn't do anything? And you're a minor league team and you got three or four other guys and you call up your players like, hey, guys, we're all screwed. Let's put together a league like the All-American Girls Baseball League and a league of their own, right? And let's go find ESPN or somebody like that that wants to cover us. And we'll institute our own restrictions and we'll go with smaller baseball stadiums and we can get away with this stuff, right? Like I'm waiting for the ingenuity that comes because I think the bigger boys don't have that imagination. I don't think they have that. I think history has shown they don't have that. It will be somebody that will come out of nowhere and will come up with a way to do something that the big leagues and these big organizations haven't thought of. And I'm waiting for that anxiously as a student of history and as just an American that knows that that's how so many things in this country have started. And I feel like out of this, you're going to see technological advances, but you might see a sport. Now we've got people calling in. So I'm gonna go over. We got Tank calling. We're gonna get to him first. I see Gary call. We're gonna get him next. Tank, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. What's going on, bud?
Not much. Trying to get away, doing my own social distancing for my own family, trying to get away for a little bit, like Craig.
Yeah.
So this is I'm gonna jump in here for just 1 second. This is Cody Potanko. He's been on. We started a little thing called Minor League News and Brews that was trying to get started as the whole thing was happening.
Okay.
Cody writes for Rumbunner. He has been doing a very unique idea. He's been doing a day in the life of a minor leaguer. I think he just put out his 7th.
Oh, and you guys did, is this the group that you made friends with after some strife, or was that somebody else, Greg? I saw something on social media this week.
Well, I've always been friends with Cody.
Okay.
He just happens to work for somebody that I'm still maybe strifing with.
I thought the strife was over. I read it. They were like, "We apologize. We screwed up." I thought I read that on social media. You're still strifing?
Maybe, but we'll let Cody speak to what he's been doing. He's been doing a lot of good stuff.
Cody, honest to goodness, this is not a setup. He doesn't tell me anything. For 6 days a week, I don't hear a word from this guy, and I talk to him every Monday, and that's about the only time we talk. So I just saw what was going on in social media. So what are you up to over at Rumbunter?
During this crazy thing that's happening, I figured I might as well try something a little unique. And I've been trying to get like a little peek behind the curtain of these like minor league guys. Like, what are they doing now? You know, because there's that whole story of minor league guys not getting paid, all the stuff they're going through, and it's rough. So I kind of wanted to get a feel for like what's their life like. And so far I've done, I think you are right, Craig, 7. The 7th one was Quinn Priester, an actual Chicago guy, kind of like you. So it's been a really neat experience. It's been kind of eye-opening, you know, just to see what these guys are like that I think we kind of put them up on a pedestal as some sort of like alien-like creature who isn't human. And then you realize, oh, these guys have normal habits. They have normal hobbies. And it's kind of neat to see.
Well, my wife, and I was reminded of this just recently, her cousin played minor league ball, and he didn't have a very long run. He sells like AstroTurf now. And he's out of I think he's out of Wheeling, West Virginia still. And then he's got a really good friend who's still in the minors. And maybe about 2 years ago, they passed through and are sitting down here at the bar drinking. And I didn't even know the guy was a baseball player for the first hour I was talking to him. And then he was telling me some stuff. And like, you know, I mean, he isn't rich. These minor league guys don't make any money. They actually have to keep a second job just to play baseball. I don't think people get that unless you're a big prospect. You're playing for the love of the game, the hope of catching on, and you have like a 1 in a million chance of that actually working out for you.
Yeah, yeah. Except for guys like, I talked to Tanaz Thomas, you know, he's one of the bigger prospects, and Quinn Priester, but I talked to a guy named Samson Abernathy, you know, and he was, I think, a 27th round draft pick, injury guy, not really highly touted even going into college. You know, he had to fight his way to get to where he was. And, you know, I asked him, like, what kind of workouts are you doing? And he's like, well, it's kind of like a Rocky montage, man. I'm just working in my garage with, like, sledgehammers and stuff. Like, these guys can't even find it. They can't even find equipment.
That's like me today. I had to do my own plumbing today. It was horrible. I haven't done that in years. I'm terrible at plumbing. We had a sink I couldn't get anything out of, and it's been blocked up for like a week and a half. My wife looked at me and she goes, I'm not bringing in a plumber. I'm like, oh, I got to go do this. So yeah, no,
like,
I get
how
it.
How many YouTube videos could Chris watch to figure out how to do this?
No, you know, in the end, I knew enough about it. I just always fail at it. Like, I'm always bad at putting the pipes back together again. There's always a leak. And I actually did well. I didn't have any problems. I put it back together. Everything worked great. You know, here's the problem. I have a 14-year-old daughter who's not going to get an 8th grade graduation, who's extremely moody, but also very artistic. So we're letting her paint us paintings, and she's having a wonderful time just kind of expressing herself artistically. But then all of a sudden, the stink blacked or the sync blacked up. And I go and I'm using the router or the rotor, whatever the hell it's called. I got that stupid thing where I'm spinning stuff. And I don't know. I'm not a plumber. And I'm in there and I'm running it through I'm running it through the drain and everything like that. And I pull it out and it's nothing but girl hair and paint. She's been washing all of her paint down the sink. And she created like a wall of paint in the walls. And I have to forgive her because the girl is miserable right now. So.
Well, you know what? This may be her Renaissance period. We might see a whole bunch of artists come up with crazy paintings.
This is her blue period.
Right. Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. One day she'll be a famous artiste. I keep telling her she burned her hand pouring tea the other day because she wasn't paying any attention. She's got this little mark on her hand. I'm like, you'll be an old lady. You'll be showing us. I got this during the plague of 2020. She'll be showing it to kids when she's like 95 years old. That's what she'll be doing. My dad did this podcasting thing. It was the stupidest thing I ever saw in my life.
The podcasting thing. This is crazy, man.
Anyway, Tank, thanks for calling in. We're running short on time, and Gary Morgan's tried to call me like 4 times.
Oh, that's no problem, man.
All right. Good to talk to you.
All right. Thanks, Cody, man.
No problem, guys.
I'm going to let Gary Morgan jump in now. So, Gary, you can call in now when you're ready. Just jump in there and say hi. And what are you drinking tonight, buddy?
What am I drinking?
Yeah, what are you drinking? I'm still waiting to connect him.
Okay. I am drinking a Sweetwater Easy IPA.
Ooh,
is what I'm drinking tonight.
I'm a big fan of the Sweetwater. I had the whole family on a vacation down to Disney. And on the way back, the car broke down in Atlanta. Ended up staying with my old college roommate, one of my best friends, for like 3 days waiting for a part to get in for the car. It was like something you couldn't have written. And we lived in Atlanta for 3 days and went to Sweetwater Brewery, I think, 2 of those 3 days. It's a great brewery. So good stuff.
Weird thing is, and the good thing is for them is that they have a tap room in the Atlanta airport, which I've been through a couple times. Yeah. I just parked myself there. I mean, their beer is just really, really good. It's a nice session IPA. It's not too heavy. It's not going to get me too wasted. I mean, wasted enough, but not too wasted. And it's just a good drinking beer.
Gary Morgan, what are you drinking tonight?
I got a Crowler from BJ's.
There you go.
Double time IPA.
There you
good
go.
Stuff.
Gary's but, kicking back tonight. How you doing?
I'm always kicking back. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I think dominoes need to start falling. I think right now, everything you said is accurate. The players have the owners kind of under their thumb a little bit here. A little bit of pressure can be applied. But at some point, when things start opening up, don't you think that kind of reverses the pressure back to, like, both of them to get the game going again?
Yeah, it does, and that's the thing. I think right now the players have the advantage, and they know that it's time to start speaking up, and you don't know how things are going to open up. I mean, look, I was laughing with the kids today. I'm sitting there with my 14-year-old, my 12-year-old at the dinner table, and I go, well, Georgia's going to be the great experiment. And they go, why? I'm like, they're opening everything on Friday. And my son goes, what? I'm like, yeah, they're opening the whole thing. They're opening up the movie theaters. They're opening up the amusement parks. And he goes, really? I'm like, yeah. So the rest of the country is going to sit back and wait about, I don't know, 3 weeks and see what happens. And that's, I mean, but until it happens, nobody knows what's going to happen when you reopen everything and how everything's going to go. And the players realize that now is the time to put their foot down. Plus the fact that I keep reading that most of these TV contracts, they stipulate at least 130 some games that have to be played. So the clock is ticking right now for the major league owners to actually start baseball, and they're running out of time. And I think that that's why the players are doing what they're doing.
We might be past that already.
Maybe. We might, yeah, because you'd have to warm. You'd have to do a lot of doubleheaders, I think, at this point. If you started
unless
in mid-May,
counting,
you'd be doubleheadering.
They're counting postseason.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what they're looking for. I don't know. So I don't know if they, I don't know if they'll play or if they won't play. But I'm starting to feel more and more like they're not going to play. And I've said it now for the last couple of weeks. I feel bad for sports writers like yourself, Gary. I know that Craig writes as well as being on this podcast. I don't write. I used to, but I just became, it got easier for me to just jibber jabber, but I feel bad because you're running out of things to cover. And I feel like that this whole notion that they're going to come back is like everybody's clinging to it right now in the sports world and trying to report. They're almost like trying to will it that way. Like, Ken Rosenthal is trying to will it to happen. Jeff Passan is trying to will it to happen. But I don't know if they can will it to happen right now.
Yeah, but you got NFL writers that are bashing the league for moving forward with anything. So, I mean, it's not an even playing field.
No.
I
mean, no, it's
the
not.
The ones that are actually working are upset they're working. So, who knows? And that's kind of the society right now. You got some people that questioning why in the world they're considered essential. And, you know, it's crazy.
Well,
dominoes need to start falling.
We had a talk about that here in this house. And I don't know if you, I don't know, you know, Craig, I think you're doing all your stuff from home, right?
Yeah, I've been regulated to home until July 1st.
So up
is
until
what I was told.
Up until about 18 months ago, I would have been an essential worker. I was 10 years a 911 dispatcher at one of the biggest 911 centers in the country. And I was a supervisor until I decided to walk away from that and start doing this, which has luckily been successful, although God knows what's going to happen with this crazy virus. But I was doing that now. I did it for about 10 years. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know if I would have walked out the door. That would have been a tough decision to make. That would have been a really, really hard time for me to be able to make that like decision. Like, do I want to go out here with these two kids or these three kids? One of them's asthmatic. Do I want to like go out and catch it and bring it back home? I just read a story today to some first responder. Like, the whole family got it because the dad was like a fireman, but the daughter who was 5 years old died. Like, if I read that right now, I'd be like, I'm done. Like, I'm actually essential if I'm in that position. I can't imagine what grocery store workers are going through right now if they're reading something like that. They never signed up for something like that. They're not getting paid that way. And that's going to be the argument that these baseball players are going to make. Like, yeah, sure, you want us to take a reduction, but what about hazard pay? So we really should be getting paid more. And that's how these negotiations are going to go, I think.
That'll go really well with the public that's suffering right now.
I know. I know. Yeah. No, I get it. But they don't care about the public. They didn't care in 94. They didn't care in 94. Some of the most ignorant things in the world were said by owners and player representatives in 1994. I remember it. And we weren't going through anything like this.
I think you say things in a negotiation that you don't really mean.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to get, just like you said earlier, you're going to say whatever to get whatever. Yeah. And you're going to take advantage of the situation as best you can. I'm going to get off here so that somebody else that's in the pool can jump on me.
All right. Well, I appreciate you checking in, Gary. That's Gary Morgan. He's from Inside Buck's Basement. He writes with Craig. They do good work. At this point, Craig, we're going to conclude the show that would actually be put out on the podcast. All right? So okay. Yada, yada, yada. Here comes the music. Boom. If for some reason you stayed on or you're listening to the live podcast, we'll keep going. So that's how we're going to do this. So Bucks in the Basement, the on-demand show is ending right now. And for those that are still on the live show on a Monday night, we'll keep going. And if you miss out on anything and you're like, man, I wish they would have kept going, the 30 minutes is up. You should be listening live on Monday nights. Get the Podbean app. Go to bucksinthebasement.com on any kind of device that needs an app. You'll get prompted to download it or just go to the app store. It's completely free, and you'll be able to jump on and join the show. So that's the end of the Bucks in the Basement right there. And now we'll continue with overtime.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
All right, why are you back in the party?
I think it's an accident. Sorry, I hit the button.
What is it?
Here's the thing. That's brilliant.
What is it? Eric Minshall is saying exactly we're going to the VIP room. Yeah. So here's the thing is that if you haven't been noticing the chatter that's been going on, right now we have Matt Capps, we have Jeff Karstens,
right.
Both former Pirates pitchers. We have Eric Minshall in there. Just having a good time in the chat room, which is great to see. That I mean, that's kind of the purpose
I like
of this.
It.
Is Minshall, everybody?
Minshall just called it the champagne room. Remember, Eric, there is no sex in the champagne room.